All right, good evening, everyone. Let's call the Tuesday, November 16, 2021 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call of members.
Glenn Moore.
Here.
Martha Robertson.
Here.
Leslie Schill.
Here.
Mike Sigler.
Here.
Here. Amanda Champion.
Here.
Deborah Dawson.
Here.
Henry Granison.
Present.
Here.
Fine.
Here.
Ann Corman.
Here.
Mike Lane.
Here.
Dave McKenna. Leslie McBean Claiborne.
Present.
13 members present.
Thank you. Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices. You would have received any notices in your mail. There are no proclamations tonight. Announcing that we'll have an executive session this evening to discuss personnel issues related to particular people. Let's move
Madam
on.
Madam Chair, I know Dave McKenna seems to be with us now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rich. Version of the floor for the public. I have a couple of a few individuals who've asked to speak with us tonight. Let me start off by recognizing Sharon Anderson. And has Sharon please come introduce herself? We invite her.
Do you want to say education? Not necessarily. Hello,
thank you. Okay. Hi, I'm Sharon Anderson. I'm here on behalf of Cooperative Extension of Tompkins County. I am serving as the interim executive director. I've been there for 1 month, and I'm here tonight just to introduce myself. I have about 22 years of experience with Tompkins County Cooperative Extension and about 6 years of experience at a different cooperative extension. Most recently, I was the leader of the environment unit, and so I've been able to meet a lot of you in that capacity. I want to say thank you to Amanda and Shauna for their service on the board of directors and for the legislature in general for your support of cooperative extension through the years. I will do my best to keep cooperative extension strong and being a valuable contributor to the community until we can find a permanent executive director, which we hope to do soon. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Sharon. Sharon, don't walk away yet because, you know, this is an introduction and it might be just a couple of quick follow-ups from any legislator. Martha?
Hi, Sharon. Not a follow-up, but I wonder if speakers could go to that podium because the folks at home can't see the person at that microphone.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sharon, in your role as interim director at Cooperative Extension. And certainly we're here to support the best way we can you in that role. So thank you for stepping up.
Thank you.
All right. Next is Robert Lynch, Town of Enfield.
Good evening. I know I could speak up before the lectern, but I spoke at the budget hearing last week and only about half my words got heard. I don't know why. So let me speak here. And as I call it, the visuals, you look from way in the back and you can't see the person anyway at the lectern. So let me speak here if you will indulge me that. This is going to be difficult. Robert Lynch, 175 Gray Road, Town of Enfield, member of the Enfield Town Board. I'm here as an individual tonight. It's difficult because I so respect this organization, this legislature, and I've covered it for 50 years, and I respect each and every one of the 14 members here. And I don't want to say anything that's out of turn. I will recall the words that one of your members told me at an Enfield Town Board meeting last week. And that is, once you're elected to public office, you are a public servant 24/7. And I agree, that is true. And I'm here tonight because I think maybe I'm standing in the shoes of the people in Enfield who elected me, who would probably say the things and think the things that I'm saying tonight. About 2 years ago, you began an odyssey. You began a series of meetings, most of them behind closed doors, with an uncertain purpose as far as the public was concerned. We didn't know what they were about. In October of 2019, I asked one of your legislators, what are these meetings about? You got one tomorrow night. Can you please have the chair come forward and say what they're about? You're talking about property. I don't know what it's about. Nobody else does. And I was assured, yes, there'd be a statement, but there never was. Meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. And it finally came to the public's attention this past August that you were buying for $3 million this land out back for a new office building. Tonight you're proposing spending, reallocating $4.8 million. $1.8 million in a county budget for design of the new office building, and $3 million more for purchase of that land. You didn't lead the public along, and I think to a certain extent you shouldn't do this because of what you didn't do, which was inform the public. We had a county administrator a couple of years ago, back when the old library was still standing, and so he said, you know, I'd love to make the old library into a center of government, but I can't make a business case for it. And nobody here has made a business case for this project. And I hope before you spend more money beyond the $4.8 million that you spend and think wisely and make a business case for why we should support it. Because I haven't seen that yet. And frankly, I don't like the way this has gone forward. I think to a certain extent, criminal law, they use a phrase, fruit from the poisonous tree. If the procedure is faulty and corrupt, then the benefits from that procedure should also be corrupt or also be disregarded. And I think that's the case. I really think you should avoid eating this fruit because I fear it's poison. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch. Next on my list is Faye Gugagas. Is Faye still here? Oh, yeah, there you are. Yes, Faye, come on up. It's your turn.
Good evening, is it? Faye Gugagas, City of Ithaca. I have 3 points. I hope to make them. I wanted to just echo something that was just said about public service being 24 hours. It is a 24 hours job. Sadly, I feel some people don't look at it that way. At least 2, if not 3 or 4 council people in the city of Ithaca don't feel they have to return my call. And they publicly even said that when I addressed that at the council meeting. So, anyway, I wanted to say happy Thanksgiving before I forget, because once it gets close to 3 minutes, I'll forget. So I want to wish everybody in the audience, people watching, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say that I'm very grateful that I can come here and speak. I want to thank the county board for that. The city is not doing that. The city is on Zoom. I spoke with Julie Holcomb. It's on YouTube. I pay a fortune for cable, for my cable. And I think it's very wrong what the city is doing. When we talk about democracy and hearing people's words, I mean, I'm really appalled at what the city has been doing. So I want to thank you for that. The other thing is public safety. I'm not going to go into details about it because I'm going to run out of time. If I have time, I'll come back to it. But Minneapolis had a vote. And for me, I was thinking about that way, you know, from the very beginning, because I think this is something that people needed to have a say in it. And I'm very, very saddened that the city and the county decided to go ahead without giving the public a vote the way Minneapolis did. I have a lot of concerns on how it's being done, but I'm going to have to come back another time. The third thing is we're here, the holidays are here, and I have to say this because I have an art background, I have a degree in art. I live in Santa Ithaca, so this tree that is glaring, and talk about light pollution because it's on all night, it's not supposed to be, I heard, because I talked about that today with someone. But if you look at the tree on the commons, okay, it's crooked, first of all. When you look at it and you get closer, there's a big box and it says warning high voltage. The colors are not what I associate with the holidays. It is really, really sad that the city could come up with something that eyesore, that depressing, and that cheap-looking and artificial. It doesn't speak to holidays. And so what I want to say is, if this is the way people are going to, the vision for the city, the way the city's operating, it's not good. Okay, I run out of time, so I don't have faith in the city anymore. I don't. I mean, it's really sad to have a tree ugly on the commons, which represents the rest of the county. It's the ambassador for the rest of the county. And I just, you know, you have no idea how many times I called Gary Ferguson for poop on the commons, for other things that they were doing that I have to reverse. I mean, it's like worse than children. I mean, you know, it's like, I don't know if people know what they're doing. Where is the leadership? And it's not from a mean spot in my heart. I mean this, like, because I'm really worried about the direction of our county, of our city. You know, so anyway, I know that's very depressing, but I wish you all wonderful holiday, and again, thank you for allowing me to speak, because this is the right thing, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, and happy holidays to you, too. Thank you very much. And now I have Nevin Sabet, town of Lansing.
Thank you so much. I love microphones, so I'll stand here as well. I would like to discuss the issue of the criminal trial happening in Tompkins County Court this week. I was very interested as an observer on Monday, and on Tuesday I was interested in finding out the any public information about the jurors that were seated. And apparently there's no public information because of privacy issues. However, I remember learning that during the Derek Chauvin case, the one piece of information that was made available to the public was race information about the jurors. And I think we can all agree that an all-white jury is just like, I think we're all trained not to think that's a good thing, right? From what I could see, I think we have an all-white jury seated on a criminal case this week. And although I do believe that people should be allowed to self-identify their race, and it's like, I don't think it's my job to identify all these people as white. However, as a county with a logo, the inclusion through diversity, is it inclusion through diversity? Okay, because I feel like it should be diversity through inclusion, but anyway, inclusion through diversity is so confusing, I can't understand it. I think it's like, for me, diversity is obtained through inclusion. And it's very important we include our jurors to not only represent a random sample of the population, and that's what I'm hearing. I'm really asking you to please use your policymaking powers to ensure that we are collecting race data on jurors in Tompkins County so that we can ensure also disability data so that we can accommodate the deaf, the blind, people in wheelchairs. I don't know how they get up the stairs, and that door is so heavy, but
oh, there's no button, you know. I don't know how wheelchairs do it, but jury rights, I feel it's wrong for the district attorney to omit the rights of the jurors. For example, jury nullification. This is why we have juries, that jurors have the right to find a defendant not guilty if they don't agree with the law or they don't agree with the punishment. And this is happening now with the federal laws on marijuana, you know, distributors, jurors just finding not guilty, you know. And this was also, we saw this with the Emmett Till trial, unfortunately, his murder trial, with an all-white jury. They used jury nullification to find his murderer not guilty because he was a smart-alecky black from the north, and that's where they're supposed to stay, according to somebody who wrote into Time magazine after that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Nevin, for raising the issue, and thank you for coming to speak with us. I don't have anyone else sign up to speak on the privilege of the floor, but I do know that we have some wonderful guests in chambers with us tonight, and we have staff waiting for some resolutions, so we'll do some little shuffleroo before I go there. However, I wanted to see if there are any municipal officials out of respect and recognition. Do we have any municipal officials joining us this evening to speak with us or bring us any news? Hard for me to see. I don't see anyone.
Hi.
Legislators? Hard to the floor for legislators. Deborah?
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I'm going to be a grumpy old man tonight. There are a couple of things that...
Thank you, Deborah. Next. Go ahead, Deborah.
You know, there are a couple of things going on in our community that really upset me. First of all, the backlash that the sheriff's getting for how he handled the publicity or notification of the issue we had in Cayuga Heights last week. You know, people... That's a tough job. That was an emergency. No one was hurt. Nobody's house got shot up. People made their best effort to let the public know what was going on. I just feel like we're all together a little too picky when things don't materialize exactly the way we want them to. And my feeling is it's just too bad. So that's my first grump. And my second one is that last night, the Common Council of the City of Ithaca declined to put in the usual $15,000 that they contribute to the operating budget of the Tompkins County Public Library. And the rationale that was given by the two legislators that were quoted by the local newspaper was that the library was a county responsibility, and Ithaca City taxpayers pay a third of the county's taxes, and so the county should pay that $15,000. So I wanted to just inform members of the public and members of the Common Council that in the coming year, the county will be contributing somewhere around $3.5 million to the operation of the Tompkins County Public Library. And the $15,000 that the library asked for from the city constitutes 0.005% of the amount the county is contributing. So do your homework, people. I could go on about how the library is much more conveniently located for city residents and how difficult it is for people in the periphery of the county to get to it, and the fact that the county also supports rural libraries, but I'll leave that for another day. So thanks for letting me vent.
Those were two really good grumpy things to talk about.
Well, thank you, Leslie.
So I appreciate that. And, you know, I hope we'll get eventually to a place where we see things like life that are important to whomever as something that's a shared service that we can all contribute to, not who's responsible and who is not. And, oh, just the pickiness of things like that.
Amen.
So thank you. Martha.
Totally agree on that one. It's just, that was $15,000, really, just really not, just not kosher. Okay. A couple of things. One is in everybody's mailbox, you should, I think you all have a climate news from NYSAC. This is the climate issue. The first time that NYSAC has had a full issue of their magazine devoted to climate action, climate resiliency, climate issues. It is, there's really been a sea change at NYSAC, and I'm delighted to see it. The committee that I've been chairing called the Climate Resiliency Committee has been sort of an informal task force, and next month the board will vote to make that a permanent standing committee for the first time. They'll call it the Climate Action Committee. County Executive Patrick Ryan from Ulster County is going to chair it, so it's going to be able to have be able to pass resolutions, set policy for NYSAC, and I think that's a really big deal. I hope members of the county legislature will actively participate because it's a real chance to make a difference in New York. And speaking of making a difference in New York, our own Terry Carroll, Chief Sustainability Officer, did write one of the articles in this magazine, Charging Ahead on a Green Fleet in Tompkins County. So I encourage everybody to take a look at if you don't read anything else, read that article on page 22. Thank you. And then I just wanted to, since last time we were here, we've had an election, or actually we've finished an election, maybe I say. We're almost finished an election in the town of Dryden. Most of the election was finished before our last legislature meeting, but Mike Lane's District 14 race has been so very close that we just learned yesterday with the counting of absentee ballots that now the race is within two, and Mike is leading by two votes, with nine challenges still to be resolved. So I just want to congratulate Mike on a hard-fought race, on really reaching out to his district and his voters, and I really hope that that lead actually grows with the nine that are outstanding, and hope that Mike continues on this body for the next 4 years.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you, Martha. Ann Corman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'm just going to make a quick correction, and I want to second what my colleague Deborah Dawson said regarding the criticism that the sheriff and the legislature has been getting with some of the recent activities that have been going on to protect our community. I understood what you meant, Deborah, but just in case, it sounded like you said, like, the amount that the city was paying was like 0.01%, but did you say 0.01%?
0.05%.
Of what?
Actually, the city's paying zero, Annie.
Okay, they're paying zero now. That's the main thing, right?
No, that's not true. Sorry.
It isn't?
No, but I was going to talk about it later. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
Okay, so you can clarify that. Thanks. And you said what legislators said at the meeting, and I think you meant to say what council members said at that meeting. Okay, great. Thank you. So this has nothing to do with politics, but I just wanted to acknowledge we are losing, since there has been an election, we have several people that are retiring from the legislature. I just wanted to take this opportunity tonight to acknowledge my compadre and my esteemed colleague, Dave McKenna, and he represents the town of Newfield and 2/3 Enfield, and it has been a real pleasure and an honor to work with him, and I will miss him come January. We have spent a lot of time working to represent Enfield together. When I started out, I was the vice chair of facilities and infrastructure, and Dave was the chair, and he really helped, he took me under his wing and really helped me quite a bit. And he's always quick to get back to me when I call him and talk to his wife, Arlene, at home is always very cordial and helped me track him down when I want to talk to him about any issue at all. So anyway, I'm going to miss you, but I do have your home phone number just to let you know, just to remind you. So I'll call you and Arlene once in a while, and I wish you well in retirement. And I'm saying this today as just wanted to spread out some of my best wishes and appreciation as we go over the next couple of meetings before the end of the year. So thank you for everybody listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Dave, change your number, change the lock.
She's a good egg. I don't have any problem with a phone.
No, thank you. In all seriousness, thank you, Annie, for that, and thank you, Dave, for serving. I have Rich John, followed by Mike Lane and Shauna Black. I'm keeping in my head the order. Rich.
Thank you. One, I just wanted to comment on one of our privileges of the floor speakers. Hey, I'll make an effort to get over the comments. I'd like to see the tree. And I'd be happy to talk to you about it after I get a chance to look at it. We want a good tree on our commons. I agree. As to the library, I represent a city district, and I'm cognizant of the issue of double taxation that people sometimes talk about. But I agree, Deborah, that there's real benefit to the county and the city working together. And we've been able to do really good things when we cooperate and collaborate. And it seems like that's just such a simple thing. There's such enormous benefit to city residents to having a beautiful public library in the heart of the city. And $15,000 just seems to be a reasonable, actually a very small amount in the type of budgets we're talking about in the city or county to contribute. You know, maybe they can reconsider that one. Anyway, thanks.
Mike Lane and then Shauna Black.
Well, it'll probably sound like I'm piling on, but I kind of hope we have a liaison from the city council here tonight and we could ask questions about that vote on the library, but we don't happen to have that. The legislature made a serious decision about keeping the library downtown when it accepted the gift of the old Woolworths building and put out $6 million to convert that into a first-class library. There's no question that the greatest benefit of that is for the people in the Central Core, people in the city, people in the town of Ithaca. The rural libraries are nice, but they're nothing in comparison to the library we have, which is a first-class operation that we support it very heavily. I read the same article you did, Deborah, and they talked about, well, it's in the central area of the county, and therefore it makes a lot of sense. It does, but let's just remember that the geographic center of Tompkins County is actually, I think, closer to the village of Lansing than it is to this downtown Ithaca.
Be happy to have the library.
I don't doubt that. And, you know, we could sell that library property for mucho bucks right now. And we've actually, several years ago, we had some developers approaching us about buying the air rights. They actually wanted to build stories over top of the Woolworths building. Punch the ceiling and put in girders and things to support it. And fortunately, we didn't decide to do that. But that's a valuable piece of property, and we could go out in a cow pasture somewhere and build a library for a lot less money. I hope that the folks on Common Council will think more carefully, and Rich, you're right, we need to work with them. This issue of the working together on law enforcement initiatives has been a good one. It hasn't played well in my district, I'll tell you that, but it is the right thing to do, intermunicipal cooperation. So I agree that this small amount of money is in a budget is the size of the cities is pretty small. I'd like to thank Mayor Myrick for including it in his budget. I'm just sorry that Common Council decided not to go forward with it. But I think they if we talk to them, perhaps they'll listen to their better angels. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Speaking Spanish, I think you're right. I think we can just, or we should, call up our colleagues who serve in council and speak with them. We've done that before. We've had conversations. We saw when we cooperated on the outreach worker on, you know, other areas right now with reimagining public safety. So we've done this. We've done it with the Ithaca drug plan. We've a few other things. So let's just reach out, talk with them and see what might come of it. I'm sure
if I might,
things can change.
Another thing, just to say, that $15,000 is going to meet more open hours in the city on
right.
Sundays.
Keep the library open on Sundays. So, all right, I see Amanda and, no, Shauna, then Amanda, then Martha.
Thank you. Leslin, I also would like to thank the Sheriff's Department and the law enforcement that responded to the incident last week. Subscribing to the Swift 911 notifications was very, very helpful, especially for those of us that have children that were at school. I had children that were walking home from school during the emergency situation, and it was really nice to know where the situation was occurring. So I wanted to thank you for your response and for keeping us safe that afternoon. Secondly, I also would like to talk about the library. I know we're all going to sound like a broken record talking about this, but this is vital to our community. And for it to stay open on a Sunday, for many people, this is the only time of the week that they have to go to the library. For some people, this is a place that they go to stay warm. The library provides so many functions in our community. And whenever you look at a budget as big as the city of Ithaca's, they received CARES money this year. $15,000 is an absolute drop in the bucket. Last night, one thing that was also approved was and I hate to bring up salaries, but a 30% increase on council member salaries. And given they do not make as much as legislators, I understand that. But it would be very hard as a council member to accept a 30% increase in my salary and know that I would be shutting down the library on a Sunday. So I did want to bring that to the forefront as well. I do hope that we can talk to our colleagues and somehow figure out an arrangement. However, I think if that is not attainable, we should figure out a way to keep the library open. Thank you.
Thank you. Amanda.
All right. Thanks, Leslin. Since everybody's talking about the library, I'll just talk about it as well right now. I've been the liaison to the library board for 4 years, and I have seen nothing but dedication and hard work and people who are devoted to the library itself, but providing information and access and a place to hang out for teenagers and a warm place in the winter. I mean, this is a vital organization, and personally, I love it, and I love the work they do. I was quite shocked that they decided to not fund this $15,000. Just a couple other little clarifications. I actually just came from a library board meeting right before this, and they we're talking about this, and you know, they have a lot of concerns about you know, the way this happened. Mayor Myrick did not include this in his original budget. He forgot, or it was an oversight. And the acting director actually approached him and said, can we have a conversation about this? And he said, oh yeah, definitely, I'll put it in the budget. But then it sounds like it was the council and then the mayor as well kind of folded, and they decided it wasn't something that they wanted to fund. They do give the library funding from their sales tax. I hope I have this correct, but I think what the library said earlier was that it's 0.3% of their total budget. So the sales tax money from the city is 0.3%. I think I have that correct, which is about the same as what the town of Ithaca gives them. The town of Ithaca is giving them $15,000 for this Sunday opening. So they do have some money to keep the library open on about 9 Sundays, but if they have this other $15,000, they could do another 9 Sundays. You know, and as folks said today at the library board, you know, this is a barrier to access issue. You know, we want to provide as much opportunity for the community to get in there and use the services and have a safe place to be. And like Shauna said, you know, a place where folks who can't get there on a weekday can go on the weekend and use the services. So, last thing I will say is that, there are 13,000 people who have, city residents who have library cards, 13,000 city residents. So that's a lot of people who use the library who reside in the city of Ithaca. I know this is sometimes frowned upon, but I will be making a amendment to our budget when we get there to include this $15,000 for the library. Thanks.
Thank you, Amanda. Martha.
No, Amanda, it's not frowned upon. It's really, really okay for people to make amendments on the night that we actually pass the final budget. Just one more thing about the library, and it's different, so I want to raise it. The rural libraries that I think Mike mentioned, you know, those folks pay county taxes, but they also pay to support their local libraries. And we spend all of $209,000. That's with the extra bump we gave them just to bring them back up to where they should have been pre-pandemic. All of $209,000 in this budget for 5 rural libraries. 5 libraries spend $3.6 million for the Tompkins County Library. That's the library budget. That doesn't include what we pay to maintain and repair, to clean and maintain the building itself. So $209,000 to 5 rural communities that support their own libraries themselves. So if the city councilors want to talk about double taxing, I think there's a long list of things to look at on that issue. I'll be supporting the extra $15,000 tonight.
Okay, folks. Again, we can have a conversation with our top council. We don't need to be casting aspersions on anyone now. If we want to vote to add it, we'll do that later on. But, you know, this is getting, you know, a little long-winded about this. And I know we're all passionate about it. Henry and then Mike Sigler.
Yes, I'm going to talk about something that doesn't involve the library. I want to talk about Harvest Fest at GEC on this Friday. Now, I know Leslie is probably concerned that the deadline to make reservations was yesterday, but they also said a quote, that meals will be available without a pre-order, but there may be a wait and they are not guaranteed. So I just want to announce that again, Harvest Fest on this Friday at GIAC, and it's a takeout meal, and it's free. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. And I'll ask for $15,000 later. Just, I'm kidding. Mike
Sigler. I actually wanted to talk about both things, but the first thing I just wanted to actually congratulate all of our student athletes. They're all finishing up, obviously. Lansing, we did fantastic as usual, but really just a tough year for them. I think people playing in masks is difficult, but they stuck it out. And I know they're doing homework as they ride the buses home. And just a lot of effort goes into these different sports. And you know, we met with great success, our volleyball team, our cross-country team. I'm going to miss people, obviously. Our soccer team, some heartbreaking losses. Our swim team did fantastic. So to all our student athletes, really, you had a fantastic season. You worked so hard. And just thank you so much for all the entertainment. As for the library, I'm not going to dwell on it, but to me, you know, they make up cliches for things like this, you know, penny wise, pound foolish, you know, stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime. All of those apply to the city. $15,000 to show that you have a commitment to literacy in your city. I don't know what to say. You know, it's just the next time the city comes and says, oh, we want to partner with you, I'll still go for it, but I'll be much more leery of it, I would think. And I think most people would be. That I don't know why you would, I don't know. It was a token amount for how much you get in the city by way of library. Just as an example, the city, Lansing, you know, voted on a tax actually to support the library and approved that tax. And that came with some political cost to a lot of people. But they took it and they paid that cost because literacy is important, libraries are important, and Lansing felt it was important. And that's all this really token amount was for. So anyway, thanks.
Thank you. Any other legislators? All right. Let's do a little shuffle-roo. And legislators, I'm going to ask for your help. And Kathy, let me know who's on screen, what they're waiting for, so we can move things around and people can go. I'm actually going to start with Amanda NGO. And Amanda, would you take up your resolution P, I believe? And
I would be happy to.
The names, all the stuff that's in there so that we can acknowledge people appropriately.
Sure. Did you say you want me to read the names out?
I would love to hear the names of who have been appointed.
Okay. So I will move Resolution P, Appointments to the Independent Redistricting Commission. And...
May I have a second to that, please? Seconded by Dan Klein.
Great. So as you all know, we've had a long, good process getting applicants in to apply for this commission. The GO committee, Government Operations, had numerous interviews, and we sorted through and found 9 wonderful folks who are going to volunteer to work with county staff, look at all the census data, and then come back to us in several months to present us with some new district lines based on the Tompkins County population. So the folks that we are appointing tonight include Hank DeLay, who we are appointing as the chair of the commission, Elliot Immel, Chuck Nocera, Vivek Iyer, Margaret Hobby, Carolyn Chang, Jan Vink, Marsha Lynch, and Jeffrey True. And I thank them in advance for their service.
Oh, yeah. Yes, thank you, Amanda, for reading those names, and thanks to all of you for agreeing, for applying, first of all, putting your applications and going through the process and agreeing to participate on our independent redistricting commission. Thank you again, Hank, for agreeing, for chairing it. It is good to see you. And Marcia, you're back. Couldn't stay away from Tompkins County for too long, could you? Tompkins County government, but we're glad for that. So thank you very much. Comments, discussion, Mike Lane.
Third time around on the census redistricting for this legislator. I really want to compliment our Government Operations Committee and Chair Champion for the process here to move this forward. The process of the Independent Districting Commission is set forth in our charter. I think it was done with aplomb, seriousness, and spent a lot of time on it. So I just wanted to say thanks, and I certainly support it.
Thank you, Mike. Rich?
I wanted to say thank you to everybody that applied. We had some very difficult decisions to make. We had really, really good applications. And the consistent theme of the people that applied was the importance of an independent and impartial look at redistricting and trying to make sure that this was a fair process and an open process. It strikes me that New York State can't seem to do this, and on the national level, we have tremendous trouble with the same issue. But I think locally, we're in pretty good hands by all indications that this commission is going in with absolutely the right attitude about what redistricting should try to accomplish. So thank you to everybody.
Thank you for that, Rich. As always, Tompkins County leads. And we'll bottle it and send it to the state and federal government, and this is how you do it. And I want to echo thanks Michael shared to Amanda Champion, Chair of Government Operations, and all the committee members for your diligence in making this happen. Let's take it to a vote.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Mark Johnson?
Yes.
Leslie Show?
Yes.
Mike Figler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Foreman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslin McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 noes.
That carries unanimously. Thank you very much. And thank you, members of the Redistricting Committee, for your service. Okay, who else is waiting? What else should we take up? Is everything else on the consent agenda that folks are waiting for?
The sheriff may be here for a couple resolutions, possibly.
All right, why don't we just go ahead and take up the consent agenda? Shuffling things around a little bit. So, and then we'll see what else is on. We'll get to Derek's. Consent agenda, resolutions and appointments to be voted on as a group, unless any member of the legislature requests that a resolution or appointment be instead included separately and individually as part of the business of standing or special committee. And here they are. On the Budget, Capital and Personnel Committee, Resolution A, approval of the 2022 amendment to the Municipal Cooperative Agreement for the Greater Tompkins Municipal Health Insurance Consortium, ID 10435. Resolution B, authorization to participate in various contracts led by any government entity of the United States of America, ID 10476. Resolution C, approving completed tax rolls and directing the executing and delivery of warrants, ID 10486. Resolution D, town and city budgets and printing of tax rates, ID 10487. Resolution E, authorization for finance director to make year-end transfers, appropriations, and budget adjustments as required, ID 10488. On the Health and Human Services Committee, Resolution F, Grant Acceptance and Budget Adjustment, Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act, CARES, under Title VII of the Older Americans Act, Office for the Aging, ID 10512, and Resolution G, Budget Adjustments, Local Early Intervention Agency, LEIA, Social Services, ID 10514, under Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Resolution H, Budget Adjustment, Ithaca Tompkins International Airport, 10444. May I have someone move the consent agenda? Moved by Deborah Dawson. May I have a second, please? Rich John, seconds. Ready? All right. Vote.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Shill?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McLean Claiborne?
Yes.
10 ayes, 0 noes.
That carries. All right, who else is waiting? I mean, who else have I? See the sheriff. It's public safety. I think that's it, just the sheriff. All right. Have a good night, Hank. Thank you. Rich, you want to take up your resolutions?
Can I just say one word?
You may say one word, of course, but you need a microphone. You can say 10 words, actually. Yes, well, please do go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much to the members of the county legislature for this appointment. When I met with the committee, I said that we would be committed to fairness in this process, and importantly, I believe also the appearance of fairness, that we will stress the importance of community interests as we look at the data. One of the areas where we will need feedback from you all is on the size of the county legislature. 10 years ago, when the previous commission undertook this task, we made a recommendation to reduce the size of the county legislature from 15 to 14. I don't know what your feelings are about the current size, but I'm sure the commission will welcome any recommendations from the county legislature on that issue and take that into consideration as we go about our work. Final comment, as the former chair of the Board of Trustees of the Tompkins County Public Library, let me say thank you to all of you for your continuing support of the library. It's been great.
Thank you, Hank.
You bet.
Fair and impartial. Great words. All right. Where was I?
Public safety.
Public safety. Sheriff Osborne? You here for the resolution on public safety?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Rich, why don't you go ahead and take up your resolutions?
Thank you, Leslie. I would move Resolution M, appropriation from contingent fund, replacement pay, and terminal pay reimbursement, Sheriff's Office.
Second.
Seconded by Dave McKenna. Discussion? All right, we'll take it to a vote. Let's give Kathy a second. We're grabbing papers. Go ahead.
Glenn Morey?
Yes. Before I do have one comment. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If I could. I believe we also have a resolution adjusting the amount in our contingent fund. Is that in the consent agenda?
No, that's Resolution J.
Okay. One of the things we are doing, because of the pandemic largely, We've had unexpected expenses during the year. That's the purpose of our contingent fund. Mm-hmm. And we have run through the amount that we had budgeted. So in this companion resolution, we will be replenishing it. We're going a little bit out of order, but I would urge my colleagues to support Resolution J. Resolution I, and perhaps J, but certainly the one where we put the money in the contingent fund we're authorizing to spend right now. Thank you, and sorry to interrupt.
No, no worries at all. All right, let's vote.
Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Shum?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Herman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McBean Clairborne?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 noes.
All right, that carries. Why don't you go ahead and just take up the other one, Rich, while you're at it.
Okay. I would move Resolution N, Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Terminal and Disability Pay, Department of Emergency Response.
Second.
And I would make the same comment that we are reliant upon funds from our contingent fund in order to carry this expense.
Oh. Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Shum?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McBean Clairborne?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you. We'll come back to your report later on, Rich. And since you keep mentioning Resolution I, a.k.a. Resolution J,
whatever, you're close.
Deborah, why don't you go ahead and take up Resolution I?
I would be happy to, Madam Chair. So I'd like to move Resolution I, authorizing the replenishing of the contingent fund from General Fund Reserve, ID 10462.
May I have a second, please? Second. Glenn Maury seconds. Discussion.
Yeah, just briefly, for those of you who haven't been paying attention, we have worked our way through the contingent fund that we expanded last year. Tonight's two resolutions that we just voted on adds an additional $600,000 to the amount that we need to take out of the contingent fund. And this resolution would authorize an additional $600,000, which we would have already used.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Vote.
Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Lee Shum?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McBean Clairborne?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 noes.
That carries unanimously. Thank you. All right, let's go back to our agenda. And is there anybody else waiting for you that you're aware of? Okay.
Workforce development is here, I'm not sure why.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I see Jackie.
I think there's a report under the county administration.
Oh. Well, all right then. We can have us a party. Got it. Reports from County Administration, County Attorney, and Director of Let's begin with County Administration.
All right. So I think we do have a party here, but I'm going to start with a different one as we have the honor to appoint our new airport director. And so I'm bringing forth Roxanne Noble, our currently our deputy director, to appoint as the airport director. Roxanne, many of you know, she served in this role for quite a while now, and previously served in two other county departments. So she has been a long-term county employee. She was part of a search that we did. We had a panel consisting of department heads, community members, and members of the legislature, as well as discussions with staff that reviewed Roxanne, as well as other candidates. And we are excited to welcome Roxanne into this new role. And so at this point, we'd like to bring forward Roxanne for appointment by the legislature as our airport director.
Go ahead, Mike.
I would move it.
Thank you for coming out. My move forward. And moving that appointment. Thank you, Mike Lane. And I see Glenn Morey. I saw Glenn's hand first, sorry. For seconding the appointment of Roxanne Noble as the airport director. Any other discussion? Martha.
Yeah, I want to say I know that Roxanne, when Mike Hall was the director, I know he always spoke extremely highly of you, Roxanne, and felt that things were in he could totally be confident of your work and follow through and integrity and everything else, and was very proud that you were moving in this direction, and I'm really delighted that that we went through a full search as we should, and we're proud that you've come out on top, and I think we all look forward to flying again as soon as possible. And appreciate everything you're doing at the airport to keep things going. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Annie.
Go ahead, Annie.
Thank you. I just also wanted to take this opportunity to congratulate Roxanne and thank you for your service to the county, to the airport. And I'm very proud and honored to be able to vote for you to be our new director tonight. I know you'll do a great job.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I just want to know how many international airports have women directors.
Hmm? I don't know, and I don't care. I'm the county.
Congratulations.
Roxanne, from all of us on the Tompkins County Legislature and from the residents of Tompkins County as well. I've worked with you over several years, and you've just been an amazing person to get to know and work with. So thank you for applying, first of all, and stepping into this role. And we know that you will do well with and know that you'll have the support of the legislature. So thank you.
Thank you.
We have to vote.
I'm looking forward to working with everybody, so I think it'll be a great experience. I mean, I've been with the county 32 years, and just looking forward to continue to serve not only the airport, but Tompkins County as well.
Thank you. All right, let's confirm this with a vote.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Show?
Yes.
Figler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Absolutely.
Mike Lane?
Certainly yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslyn McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
14 ayes, 0 noes.
Congratulations again, Roxanne. Yes, Deborah.
Thank you.
Going, Amy.
All right. So moving on, there's a lot of different individuals on the screen tonight from throughout the organization, and these are members of the Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion team, or Team JEDI, and they are here to provide you with an overview as the team has been in existence for just over a year, and so I'll turn it over to that team And I know they have a 10-minute presentation set up for you all. So they are going to stick to their 10-minute time told.
That is correct. One of the honors and privileges of being in this role has been to support and see the advancements of Team Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. On the screen today, we have Megan Lyons, Shannon Dankert, scrolling across Jackie Miesu, Joan Jerkowicz, Rachel Graham, Dr. Ken Clark, Carla Brackett. Let's see if I missed anybody else who's on here. Oh, and Diana Crouch is here. They comprise a team of approximately 33 employees that proudly serve to advance equity in our organization. I'm going to turn it over to them because I told them it would be no more than 30 seconds of their 10 minutes. But this has been one of the greatest joys to lead, support, and see the employees empowered to do the work of leading diversity, equity, inclusion, justice work in our organization. So take it away, Megan. Go ahead.
Thank you, Deanna, and thank you to the legislature for making time for us tonight to honor and acknowledge the one-year anniversary for JEDI. My name is Megan Gatta-Lyons. I am the coordinator for community youth services for the Youth Services Department. And since I work for the Youth Services Department, I advocate to make sure that we have and capture youth voice in all areas of work. So Team JEDI decided to create a video on the youth perspectives of equity within Tompkins County. So I'm going to present you part of that video with the question that we had asked them. If you could say anything to Tompkins County employees and lawmakers, what would you say? So I'm going to introduce Ren, Jolie, Lucienne, Lucia, Amala, Viri, and Lily. So just bear with me one moment while I share my screen.
I think that Tompkins County is pretty, welcoming, but I don't know. It feels like police are more likely to arrest someone that is a different race.
I feel like in terms of, law, there are a lot of, there's definitely, a lot of things put in place to make it, less equitable in a lot of ways, or just, I guess, within, law or, the justice system. There are a lot of things that people do that they don't realize they're doing.
Please listen to the voices of Black and brown queer people in Ithaca.
I think it would be with problems LGBTQIA+ people, they need more equal rights, feminism, racial injustice, that type of thing, climate change. Problems like these aren't going to fix themselves. They're not just going to magically poof and then everyone's going to be happy again.
More support to the local programs that are trying to do things for the community, more funds, things like that. Just energy put well spent into actually doing things instead of just talking about it.
Local change is a really powerful way to make bigger change in the future. So I think starting with Tompkins County and making each individual and every community as supported as possible will lead to a better future. Clean climate infrastructure is important because obviously the climate crisis is really becoming apparent now. So I think more investments in that would be really great, and more support for mental health in our community, I think, would be really important.
Be kind.
Megan, you're muted. Or you're being profound. can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Hey. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for that. So that video was shot over through Tompkins County throughout the municipalities with a youth production company called GA Studios. They are brothers who are 18 and 15 years old. We will send the group the full video, which is about 9 minutes long. So in the meantime, I'm going to share my screen again, and we're going to begin our PowerPoint presentation.
Well, that's me. So I'm going to start my side of the presentation. Let me introduce myself. My name is Shannon Dankert. I am part of Team Jedi. I am also the chairperson for our Recognition and Awareness Committee. And I am beginning this part of our presentation as it's our one-year anniversary and our first annual report to the legislature. And Megan, you can go to the next screen. So really, the beginning part of our journey started in 2018 with the Workplace Climate Survey implementation team that led to the development of the Diversity and Inclusion and Fusion Committees, the DII. That committee actually carefully reviewed the climate survey results. They researched the best practices nationwide, and they recommended to the legislature a few things. One, that Tompkins County join the Government Alliance on Race and Equity, and two, that Tompkins County create the position and hire our first chief equity and diversity officer. As you can see, through our first year, that recommendation that we had made actually came to fruition because Tompkins County did join GARE, and we did hire our very first position of the first chief equity and diversity officer, which is Deanna. GARE also recommended that member municipalities actually form core equity teams as well. Next slide, please, Megan. So really the beginning part of our journey started with the DII, who wanted to ensure that the chief equity and diversity officer had support from the top levels of administration as well as throughout the organization. So the idea of an employee-led Jedi team was actually born. The first step for us was to call out for members from our workforce, and that was sent out in July of 2020. And through that call out, 34 applicants from 19 different county departments were made, and all the applicants were approved at that time. So the very first step that we looked into through our team was, of course, the vision statement. That is the foundation of everything that we were going to be doing moving forward. So Team Jedi vision statement was actually born, and it was an employee-led initiative driven by the shared values of respect, diversity, social justice, and equity, striving to promote and model compassion in an inclusive environment. So as agents of change, of institutional change, we share in leading Tompkins County government into a future of inclusive excellence where all employees treat each other and the public respectfully and without bias. Next.
Okay, so this is my turn. So Jackie Muyeso here. I'm the director of the Office of Employment and Training and also the Career Center Manager with Tompkins Workforce New York. And I'm also a chair of one of the committees. So the larger Jedi team has divided into five different committees to address key areas of justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And we've identified core goals that we're working on within each of those respective committees. So the Access and Equity Committee supports Jedi members, county employees, and the community at large by ensuring equitable access to and participation in Tompkins County programs, services, and employment.
This committee works to create safe and confidential avenues for identifying barriers that prevent people from fully participating in county employment and services, and in turn works to resolve those barriers. The Communications Committee seeks to inform county employees about the work of Team JEDI and engage the organization in inclusive excellence. This committee supports the development and the maintenance of the Team JEDI section of the county website. Using an equity lens, the Professional Development Committee identifies training and educational opportunities for staff and leaders of our organization. They do this through collaboration with county departments and community partners. This committee also seeks to identify challenges that affect people's access to that professional development and in turn create innovative solutions for participation. The Recognition and Appreciation Committee identifies significant dates in history that reflect and support the importance of diversity in the advancement of our community. This committee also identifies ways to encourage and promote a positive culture through public and private recognition of employees and residents. And the Data and Analysis Committee focuses on data gathering, review and analysis of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice throughout the organization. In addition, this committee works to develop data summaries and reports to share with a broader JEDI team, with individual JEDI committees, departments, and stakeholders.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm Carla Brackett. I'm the Deputy Director of the Probation Department. Obviously a member of JEDI, and I chair the Professional Development and Education Committee. And so this slide is just giving you really kind of the basics of what we've done over the past year. You know, in my opinion, one of the greatest things that has come out of JEDI is the relationships that the committee itself is building with other departments. You know, I'm collaborating with other county employees that I probably, without this committee, would never have had a chance to really get to interact with. So I think that that's excellent that we're coming together in that way and developing working agreements, coming up with the shared language, attending different trainings, sharing our stories. You know, this team has laughed a lot. We've had some tears. You know, there's just really been some great moments sharing our frustrations in our own lives, our work lives. And, you know, some of the things that JEDI has done for the community, one of the greatest, I thought, was the week-long Juneteenth celebration that we helped plan that ended with a community picnic that was just, it was outstanding. And I know some of you attended that picnic. So that's just, you know, for the first year, I think we're doing pretty good. District Attorney's Office has been, of course, a big part of the reimagining public safety, helping come up with the community dashboard, tracking all of the data, human resources. We're trying to improve recruitment practices and get the word out there, you know, for the civil service exams. We really need to attract a much broader, more diverse group of candidates. And youth services, you saw part of what, you know, Megan had worked on. And that part of that got cut off on my screen. Okay, so, and I guess I don't need to sit here and read actually what's on my screen. You can all look at that. So if you want to move on to the next one. And this is what our team is comprised of. These are all of the departments within the county that are represented. And as you can see, the darker color means that there's more than one representative from that department on Team JEDI. So we do have a very strong showing throughout a lot of the departments within the county, and we're always welcoming more members. So thank you very much. We appreciate you giving us this time this evening.
Well, woohoo! Thank you very much, representatives from Team Jedi. And thank you also for offering to share the video, because I think it will be really great for legislators to have an opportunity to see it. We had a hard time hearing it. I know I was moved when I first saw it. So please do share with us and share the PowerPoint as well. Continue, Deanna. I don't know if there was more you all wanted to share, and then I'll see if legislators have any comments.
No, that concludes our presentation. We want to respect your time this evening, but I'd also like to acknowledge my colleague, J.R. Clairborn, who is here, but also be remiss in not honoring Veterans Day, which was last week, at our the host of the first Veterans Week. So we will stand for questions at this time.
All right. Questions, comments, legislators? Shauna Black?
Yeah, I just, this is really incredible. I was not expecting the extensive presentation and all of the discussion that you all have had. This is very impressive. Thank you all for your commitment and dedication. I know that you all are busy, especially with COVID, but I think this is extremely important. And I think not only does it feed to the morale, but it also feeds to the culture that we want to have within our county. So thank you for your dedication, and thank you for your good work.
Thank you, Shauna. Anne?
Thank you. I too, am always amazed at when I hear any presentation from this group of how much work that you have been doing and are doing. So I want to thank you for that. And I want to pose a question. It's not something that you have to answer now, but maybe it's just something to think about. I know there's being on WDIC committee for the past few years. For me, trying to figure out what is it the responsibility of WDIC? Is it the responsibility of our human rights office? You know, is it somewhere else in the county? Or is it with some other group, or was it with JEDI? I don't know. To help look at, and you mentioned this a little bit about recognizing the various, to be inclusive about recognizing various, whether it's honorary months or holidays or other days, or you know, sometimes we have recognition flags up, but just ways to do that and figure out how to do that cohesively so things don't get dropped. So anyway, just a thought. Maybe, I don't know if it's really a question.
Actually, Shannon, take it away, because Shannon actually did a presentation to the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. I believe it was in June or July, whatever month that was. Shannon, you did the work. Your team did the work. Please share.
Yeah. So, and thank you for bringing that up, because we did want to make sure that in that presentation to WDIC, we did want to make sure that there was no redundancy that was done, and we would work in collaboration with the WDIC with what the legislature and WDIC already recognize in those months for awarenesses. And to also be able to come together and have that information to our communications committee, so that way they could put it out in a timely manner, so that it wasn't just a specific day, but it was a month of celebration for those recognitions and those awarenesses that should come to light every month. So our committee specifically is looking at identifying each of those months, and again, like I said, working collaboration with both the legislature, what they recognize and what WDIC actually recognizes, and coming up with information to be sent out to the entire county to have that awareness brought to them as well.
Yes, and just to add to that, we reviewed 3 years of proclamations and recognitions. Thank you to the clerk's office for sharing that information. We went through those things, and then we reviewed a series of calendars throughout the country, understanding what federal recognitions there were, what state recognitions were, what local recognitions existed. We shared that proposal with WDIC. Actually, I think Henry and I spoke about this 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the intention is to move forward in 2022 using that schedule. And we could bring it back to WDIC in the month of December, knowing that we will help elevate the proclamations. In other words, you know, again, you're talking about awareness dates and things like that, and working in collaboration with WDIC to meet, to address and to recognize and appreciate respectfully and honorably.
Yeah, and those recognitions, too, would look at two different things, one nationwide and the other, what is local government here in our community in Tompkins County.
Great. Sorry if I missed some of that or forgot some of that. So I appreciate it.
And I'm more than happy to send you that wonderful little presentation I also did on PowerPoint to you and presented to WDIC if you'd like it.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I shared with Team Jedi when I attended their one-year celebration that I feel like that very proud mother that didn't birth Team Jedi, but if you'll indulge me, I'll take a moment, and I'm getting a little emotional. This meeting, the second meeting of Tompkins County Legislature in November, 20 years ago, was my first meeting as a sitting legislator. Second meeting in November, this very meeting. And it was just a few years later that the then chair, Tim Joseph, indulged me with this wild idea that we need to have a committee that deals specifically with issues of diversity and inclusion and equity, integrity and respect in Tompkins County, and that was the birth of WDIC. WDIC is not like your regular standing committee, and I think it's important for people to understand it's inclusive, because if we're going to do inclusion, we need to be inclusive. And so it was important that that committee be made up not only of legislators, but of staff people and community stakeholders and everyone trying to help our county government be the best in practice organization and the organization that people wanted to come work for because we valued equity and inclusion. And the idea was for staff to take ownership of this work because we knew to build that work and for it to get roots and grow, it needed to grow from the inside out, that central core to staff. And so when I see the work that Jedi has done, it's when I said I feel like the proud mother, like that is exactly what WDIC aimed to accomplish when it was birthed how many years ago, to let the staff, let the people within this organization take ownership to create the kind of organization that we all want to be proud of working for, being a part of, and being able to be ambassadors of. So this is exciting, and I'm looking forward to all the other things that you will continue to do. Kathy and I was just sharing, we have a former deputy legislature clerk, Karen Fuller, who was the clerk to WDIC, had put together a full list of just about every celebration and commemoration that you can think of. And so I'm sure I can share with you, Shannon and others, you know, everything from ice cream day to, you know, you name it. But those things are important and they matter to people. So it's great to see the work you're doing. Thank you all for your commitment and your dedication. And Tompkins County is becoming that best in practice organization that we all are going to be proud of and will be the envy. We already are, you know, but will be an even bigger envy of so many others. So thank you for leading the way, Team Jedi. And Speedo, Deanna, thank you for being on board with this as well.
Thank you. And I know we're giving a round of thank yous, but I'd be remiss without just, again, elevating your commitment to the work. I know that we only have a few more weeks with you. And people always say give people their flowers while they're here, you know, and so I'm beyond grateful for the vision, the work, the tirelessness, the toiling, and the word, and I mean toiling, when you talk about the work of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. And so I am thankful that you all, I've been here a little more than a year now, and so I would like to just thank Dr. Clark, JR, and all the folks from Team Jedi for buffeting and being anchors in the work and then being relentless. You know, this organization's experienced a lot in COVID. You know, they've had the Chauvin verdict. You know, we have lots of controversial things that are happening within January 6th, you know, within our social consciousness. And so it's not just a place of work. We cry together. We mourn together. People have had children. People have lost loved ones to COVID. We've had people get married. All of those different things are shared in the space of Team Jedi, you know. And there are folks who are like Joan Jergerwood. She'll never say a word on the screen, but she actually started the presentation 2 months ago. She was at home one day and just said, hey, I was thinking about this, and I'm just going to work on it on a Sunday afternoon. It's that unspoken work that and that tireless commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice that I cannot say enough about. And I'll get off my soapbox here, but it's all those quiet people that we see working behind the scenes. It's the same folks that you see volunteering for contract tracing. You see them raising their hand for whatever special assignment there is, you know. And so we appreciate the worker bees. I always say a lot of people want to be, everybody wants to be on the committee, but nobody wants to be in the work group. And this is a work group. If you are on Team Jedi, you are committed. You are putting in more time than you ever thought you would, because we are normalizing diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice at Tompkins County. It is not an additional responsibility to treat humans with dignity and with the honor that they deserve. And so I'm beyond grateful to be here, and I will stop there. But thank you, Leslie McBean, Claire Warren, for setting the path more than 20 years ago, because there are various times in this work that I feel like we've walked backwards. But then there are moments like this where it reminds me that there is hope, there is light, you know, and that the arc of justice is long. And so I'm grateful to be in a community like Tompkins County where we're able to celebrate, elevate, and not just honor, but not tolerate, more than accept, but to, you know, crash through that glass ceiling in terms of the work. So thank you for your time this evening. We're beyond grateful to be here.
And if thank I could very quickly, I would just like to also thank Amy Hendricks, because Team Jedi would not be a reality without Amy Hendricks. Amy was really the driving force behind getting all the applications and getting us organized. So thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks, everyone. We appreciate it. All right. All right. Keep doing good work. Go ahead, Amy.
I'm going to say, and it all circles back to a call Leslin made when I was still the youth director, saying, do you think you could take over this climate survey thing? We'd really like you to move it forward. So, you know, it circles back. But thank you all for your work, and thank you for coming tonight. And now I'm going to turn it over. Frank Krupa is going to run the slides tonight, so it's a little different for our COVID update. Frank's in charge of the slideshow, but we will provide a brief COVID update. And so we'll start it off talking a little bit about what's happened since we last spoke. Currently, we have 8 hospitalizations. Our cases are up slightly. That follows some national trends that we're seeing. Vaccine doses, we'll talk more about youth vaccine and the clinics there. We continue to be vaccinating people in our community. People are still getting booster shots, using pharmacies, and then we'll talk more about our shift. You'll notice that the state has followed our lead again. They're shifting their priorities from pediatrician offices. So when the youth vaccine first came out, the state really put a lot of effort into the pediatric offices. Instead of doing that locally, we said, let's do a mass site and bring the pediatric offices to us, because our pediatricians had said that was the way that would be easier for them as well. They're not set up to do large quantities of vaccinations. Now they're following that and has switched their messaging as well. Our local in-house testing program for municipalities, we've run just over 1,000 samples at this point. We have found 15 positive test results within that.
So our surveillance testing program is working. It is identifying that. In that program, we do, if people are not vaccinated, they must participate in that program. However, our employees are also opting in if they choose to. Same with the other municipalities that have joined on. We've included now the City of Ithaca, who is our largest partner in that program. More information on the clinics to come. Our communications team continues to meet regularly. Dominic is continuing to spearhead that along with everything else that he is doing. One of the pieces last week is we did provide that town hall for families, really talking to families about what the vaccine means, and we are continuing to push that out. It's a great town hall. If people have questions, they can really watch that and see what this does for young people. We are continuing to publish additional information in different languages, helping people understand contact tracing. It still exists, but how do we approach it now may look a little different. We also have revised our messaging regarding gatherings. Holidays are coming up. We put out, the pumpkin came out again during Halloween with the mask on it. It was a popular poster last year. It continues this year. But gatherings also need to look a little different, especially as we see the rise in cases. People are asking where those rises are coming from, and I'm sure Frank will talk a little bit about that. Our mask advisory remains in effect. We are encouraging everyone to continue to wear a mask while indoors and around others, regardless of vaccination status. And our focus continues to be on the hospitalization and the severity of disease. While we're continuing to, you know, provide the count of active cases, we're really looking at the severity of disease and how is it impacting all of us. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Frank, and he'll talk through, I think, the next couple of slides. Oh, sorry, Frank, I forgot this one. When I don't control the slides, I don't know what's next. here's some the overview of the expenses and hours. It continues to go up. You'll see that the COVID-19-related expenses that are non-employee are now almost reaching our total employee hours. That non-employee expense largely is testing. Testing has flattened out some, but we continue to see slight increases in the expenses. Even though it's flattened out, we're still spending the money. We are now on, I think, week 63 of our testing program. So that program we started for a few months has continued on for quite a while. We are seeing FEMA reimbursement on it. It's not immediate, but I think we've seen about $2.6 million in FEMA reimbursement. I looked to Dominic because he told me the number earlier today. So about $2.6 million. Still more to come, but we're moving it forward. All right, Frank. Now it's Frank's turn.
To note how seamlessly I shared that presentation when we started. yes, Amy's covered much of everything. We're wanted to talk about hospitalizations first. This is a continuation of a slide you've seen before with data updated through November 10th, and it still shows the same picture that if you're under 70 years of age, vaccination is a big factor in limiting hospitalizations. So our focus still has to continue to be on getting as many people vaccinated as possible and make sure that the community recognizes that there is protection, particularly from severity of illness, by being vaccinated. What have we been doing on the vaccine front? Last time we met, we talked about our shift away from boosters to doing children. So far, we've been able to administer over two weekends nearly 2,200 doses to children 5 to 11 years of age. So that's really good. We had capacity to do 1,600 doses this past Friday and Saturday, and we did about 1,000. So we had a large number of appointment slots available that went untaken. We have advertised during that time frame walk-ins as well, but those numbers were limited. We have announced today another clinic. We're going to do one more this coming Friday from 12 noon to 7 p.m. and that link is public. So it's not going out through schools and other means. We feel like we've met the initial demand. And so we want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to come to the mall if they are interested and able. So we will be doing that one more clinic up at the mall. And want to point out that we do continue to have free transportation there through TCAT. And anyone that has questions that doesn't have internet access can call 211 to get registered and with support for transportation if they need it. So 211 is a good place to get information and get registered if you're unable to do it yourself. Amy talked a bit about cases as well, and we don't put the case numbers up front anymore. They are important, of course, and we do continue to monitor them. And quite frankly, they create a lot of work for us, but we know case numbers are going to fluctuate, and we're in a bit of an uptick now. Over the last week or so, we've seen our cases go up. We're close to 200 active cases at this point. We don't want to see that, of course, but really where our focus is, as Amy mentioned, is on our hospitalizations, and that number has remained pretty steady and has remained in single digits and low single digits for Tompkins County residents. So while, yes, we're seeing more cases, we are seeing the impact of vaccination in our community, and it really is limiting the severity of illness for those that are being exposed. And as we do begin to, you know, continue this transition from pandemic to endemic, I think we have to accept that at some point we're all going to be touched by COVID. Right. It's going to be something that's part of our disease profile. And whether it's this season or next season, we're likely all to encounter it. And the thing that we're trying to achieve now is, limiting the impact of that. Hopefully it will be a mild case. Hopefully everyone is vaccinated. And so that helps them. And there's continued advancements in medicine and antivirals that we're expecting emergency use authorization for in the coming days, as well as other already approved treatments that are available. So, again, we're always going to be looking we're going to be looking at case numbers for the foreseeable future. But really the focus is on the severity of illness in our community. And so far, our vaccination rates have definitely helped us in that realm. And that's all. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Frank. Questions? Go ahead, Martha.
I saw Mike hand up first.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. Sigler.
I wanted to ask you about the antivirals. The Pfizer, obviously, apparently it's pretty effective. I don't know much about it. I'm just wondering if you did. And when can we expect that to actually be rolled out to local hospitals and things like that?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. I don't know the particulars about the antiviral and how it works. What I do know is that it's close to having emergency use authorization. The state has been working on a distribution plan when it does get emergency use authorization, with kind of a planning assumption of early December. Of having it be available. As with everything, when it's first approved, there will be limited quantities. And so part of what the state is working through right now is how do we equitably distribute those quantities throughout the state. They did reach out to local health departments for some insight about pharmacies. I think the good news about those is that pharmacies, that's what they do. They dispense medication, and they know how to do it and do it well. And we have all chain pharmacies, essentially, in our community. So hopefully the state's able to get those chains a supply and then let the pharmaceutical businesses do what they do and get those antivirals in places where the demand is highest.
Thanks, Frank.
Go ahead, Martha.
Thank you. Thanks, Frank, for the update. Could you give us tell us what the holiday gathering guidance is? If, you know, I haven't looked at the site lately and would help to articulate that.
Sure. So there's no particular guidance necessarily around whether you can or can't gather. We are still recommending that everyone mask when indoors, particularly around anyone that is not in your normal household. So that would include extended family and those folks if you do get together for the holidays. As we've said all along, there's really a lot of personal, decision making that has to happen. If you're visiting, your elderly parents or grandparents, you really need to be thinking about, who is vaccinated, who isn't, mask wearing when indoors around those individuals. I know a lot of folks don't want to hear that, right? They want to go and have their Thanksgiving celebrations as they're used to having it, because we're all quite honestly tired of talking about COVID. But there is still a risk for seniors, even if they're fully vaccinated. So we want everyone to get a booster that's eligible. We want people to be fully vaccinated. We want mask wearing indoors when around people that you're not normally living with. We do want people to have their holiday traditions. I think that's part of getting back to normal, but we all have to evaluate our individual situations and the people that are going to be around us and the risk that they might have.
Okay. Thank you. I'm a little confused about the Friday clinics for kids. I would think it's, parents have to most likely take off work and pull kids out of school. And you had asked, Reese, or I guess it was from Amy, request for volunteers for Saturday clinics, and I actually signed up for one in December. So are we doing Saturdays or Fridays, or what's the plan? I guess I'm confused about doing Fridays.
Sure. The last two weekends we did Friday and Saturday. We're doing Friday now because – it's the next day that we had planned to do clinics. Quite frankly, I don't think there's going to be a lot of uptake. We're actually decreasing the amount of vaccinators that we will have there. It's really just one more opportunity for folks to come to the mall. We are operating till 7 p.m. And the appointments will be more intense after school hours let out. The problem with Saturdays was staffing as we come up against the Thanksgiving weekend and really uptake and balancing the need to have people sitting there with very few appointments filled against, calling them away from the beginning of the Thanksgiving holiday week. So we're trying to be conscious about people's time and effort and energy to get there. This Friday really is about one last chance at the mall before we shift towards encouraging people to go to their pediatrician offices, to local pharmacies, and we start talking with our local school districts about where there's still gaps out in, particularly in some of the rural parts of the county where we can take the vaccine to.
Right, because, I can't remember the number of kids 5 to 11 we have in the county. 2,200 so far is not where we want to be, right? How many kids do we have approximately?
Yeah, we have about 5,700 5 to 11-year-olds.
Okay. Thank you.
Frank, before I get to Henry, I just want to follow up on something that Martha asked, and I think I heard your answer. I just happened to be in a meeting today where folks were asking, similar questions. What's the guidance on, when do we know it's okay to start meeting in person or, having the family Thanksgiving? Because some people are taking this incredibly seriously and not doing the gatherings, and who makes that declaration and when and so on and so forth. And so if you're saying we're in an, we just got to live with it, what I heard you say earlier, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that, certainly people can have their gatherings and so on and so forth, but still mask up if people are not, in your same household and so on. So I think there's still confusion out there about what do we do and when that decision gets made, who makes it.
Yeah, and that's fair. That confusion is fair. I think part of the challenge is we're not mandating or requiring things anymore, at least not at the local level. We're following CDC guidance, which at this point, because we're in a high transmission area, we are recommending that everyone masks while being indoors. That's really the extent of any formal guidance or recommendations that we have at this point. As far as gatherings go, particularly for the holidays, quite frankly, people are going to have them independent of whether we say to or not. What we're trying to provide is some information about how to do that as safely as possible. Probably the most important thing is that everyone attending be vaccinated and fully vaccinated. That is the first best step. Then when you're indoors, follow the recommendation that everyone be masked, unless it's your normal household. So those are the two big things. Then beyond that, you really have to consider who is there and the risk that having a gathering poses to those individuals. And I think family gatherings, we generally have those with the elders in our family, those folks that are more senior, and unfortunately they are more at risk. And so if you're gathering with elders in your family, you want to be extra careful. You want to make sure everyone is vaccinated. If possible, you get tested, you know, before you go. So at least you have that added layer of knowing at the point you got tested, you weren't positive and wouldn't be transmitting it to those individuals. There's no guarantees with this. And there's no mandate that you not get together with family. I think what we're trying to do is share information about how to do that as safely as possible.
Thank you. Henry.
Yes, thank you for your presentation, Frank. I have a couple of quick questions. One, are you collecting information or are you recording information on people who have the third booster shot?
So I'm trying to figure out how to get that information. Because we're not doing the bulk of them, I have to get that information from the state, and it's still not quite clear how we decipher a third dose from the other doses in the state system. But we have put requests in, and we're hopeful to have some data on where we are on booster doses in the near future. But I don't have those numbers right now.
Also, for the 5 to 12 year olds, vaccinations, are those going into the daily data?
Yes, they should be. I say that tentatively because we haven't talked about the daily vaccination numbers in a while. But yes, they should be because all those are going into NICES, and I believe we're getting the data for the numbers from NICES, but I'll confirm that for you.
That is correct. This is Dominic. That's correct, Frank.
Thanks. I was going to say Amy and Dominic affirmatively.
Also, finally, I mean, for the 5 to 12 year olds, are their shots the same as other people's shots? Like they take one dose now and a second dose later on?
Yes, it is a two-dose series. It is the same vaccine, but it's a smaller dose. It's about a third of the adult dose. So for everyone that's had a vaccine through the mall, they already have their second dose appointment. We'll be beginning to do those after the week after Thanksgiving. So Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday, Saturday are the second dose clinics for the four that we've already held.
Okay, last question. Maybe this is for Amy. Do you know whether we're under the OSHA guidelines that the president has announced?
The guidelines regarding masking, right. Surveillance testing, and
yes.
All of that.
Yes.
Yes, our program complies with all of that. So we're in compliance. One thing that we will be shifting starting next week is we had originally mandated that those who are not vaccinated or not attested to be vaccinated, that they would be participating in testing twice a week. We're going to follow the federal guidance and actually shift that down once a week and just follow what's put there. That was under the discretion of the health department, and Frank and I discussed this and decided to follow that guidance. So we'll be shifting that starting after, well, next week is a short week for our staff, but starting after that, we'll continue with once a week testing.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, Annie, you get the last question to close this part out. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think it'll be quick. The my question will be quick for sure. So Frank, just wondering, you mentioned, say if you're going to the holiday gathering or some gathering with some family members who are elderly, which some of mine are, and you recommended possibly getting a COVID test. Is that covered under insurances? Do you know that test?
No, it would not be medically necessary. But if you're a Tompkins County resident, the legislature has authorized payment for those. So you could go to the mall. I would also suggest that there are rapid tests available that for that type of setting, would be a useful tool as well.
Okay, good to know. As it turns out, I am a Tompkins County resident, so thank you.
Oh, we're glad for that. Any other questions for Frank or Amy or Dominic on the COVID report? Again, thank you all for your continued good work on this. Sorry to see the numbers picking up again. We'll manage. All right, thank you, Frank. Anything else, Amy?
That is it for, I will tell you, I have heard from Lisa. She's not thinking of us this evening as directed by Leslyn as she enjoys her vacation, but she will be back next week. So we appreciate that she's taking some time for herself, and that's it as far as my report's concerned tonight.
Thank you very much. Let me look at the time. It is 7:26. Usually we take a break around 7:31, we just go. No, who's next? County Attorney, do you have anything for us before I take a break? Bill?
You did.
You are being very profound.
There you go. I got it out of it. I can tell you that I'm digging in here. Getting accustomed to the rest of the practice that I didn't have much experience with. And it's a learning curve, but I think it's going well. Jonathan and I are going to sit down further and go through matters currently pending and how we've been doing things in the past. So I can report to you hopefully more at the next meeting, but in terms of substance anyway.
All right. Thank you very much. Good to see you, and thank you for joining in.
My pleasure.
Finance Director, Rick Schneider, do you have anything for us?
I was just going to say no report for tonight.
Thank you very much. All right. Why don't we just go ahead, legislators, and take a break. Let's be back here at around 7:40 or so. And we're back. Or added to the agenda. Now, I want to take a quick opportunity. We've gone through all of the reports. Just a quick opportunity to remind folks that you should have received your United Way pledge cards with. I was going to sing this little beat for you tonight that Betty put together. Thank you, Betty. We do encourage people to please give and give generously. You'll receive a nice email from me about it, but just as a reminder to please send in your pledge cards for United Way. Our community members could really use it. All right, let's go on to our standing committee reports. One we've all been waiting for. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Deborah Dawson, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's my pleasure to move Resolution J. adoption of the 2022 Tompkins County budget and 2022 to 2026 Tompkins County capital program, ID number 10519.
Moved by Deborah Dawson. May I have a second, please? Seconded by Martha Robertson. Discussion. And remember, you still have opportunities to make amendments to the budget. Amanda Champion.
I'd like to make an amendment to the budget. I would move an amendment that would fund the Tompkins County Public Library in the amount of $15,000 as a one-time expense that would come out of fund balance.
I'll second that. Who said that?
Deborah.
I saw hands and then I heard a voice. Seconded by Deborah Dawson. You've talked lots about this. Is there more discussion?
Yeah, I would just say that we did talk lots about it. I think that this is important, and hopefully next year we can talk more with the city and they can step up and give a little bit to the library.
And you're offering it as a one-time. Mike Lane. Thank you, Amanda.
I think because it's a one-time, I will vote for it. But frankly, we're caving in to what they said at council, and that was if they didn't pay for it, the county ought to pay for it. And so they're getting what they want from us, and I know we're being the bigger people here because we know how important the library services are. But, I wouldn't want to go beyond a year.
All right. One-time amendment. Martha.
So I agree with what Mike said. Is there Amanda, I don't know if there's a way to specify it, that this is for Sunday hours. I think that was kind of designated as the purpose of the city's money. Is that your idea here?
Yeah, sorry. I should have specified to go specifically for Sunday hours for the library.
Okay, so I'll support that for the people who want to go and need to go on Sunday. And, so thank you.
All right. Yes, Deborah.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. I hate to reward bad behavior. On the other hand, I don't consider that we're necessarily caving in because I intend to take my 15,000 pounds of flesh off of every request the city makes.
Except for GX.
I don't know.
Deborah, I was trying to figure out how to respond to that one and even come back with something quick.
Well, that's all right. You can send me an email.
1,000 pounds of flesh. Again, I encourage conversation with their city colleagues. This is something we can do one time. And we engage in conversation. Like I said, we have a lot of joint things we do together. We talk about TCAT. We talk about, the cow. We do a lot of things. Lead at this point is just so much. We can do this. Henry, and then Rich, and please, let's vote on it. We've talked about this a bit. So.
Yeah, I was wondering whether we could still talk to our city colleagues and put this in contingency under the theory that they may, in fact, want to step up to the table. And do it. Also, the other point is that though their salaries are raised 30%, their salaries went from $10,000 to $13,000. So that's actually less than the $15,000 that they denied us. So I just wanted to put it out there for the city.
And far be it from us to be, debating what the city council wants to do. Those folks work hard, and they should have raised their salaries a long time ago. Rich.
Leslie, you largely said what I was going to say. We need to work with the city. I think I will support the resolution. This is sensible. We want Sunday openings, but yeah, we have to have continuing conversation.
Right. One time Sunday opening, $15,000, moved by Amanda, seconded by Deborah. Can we vote on it, please?
Can I just say one other thing?
Amanda, you have your hand up. I'm sorry. Can't just mention it.
I just want to be very, very clear that the library did not come to me and ask me to do this. This is not from them. This was completely something that I, you know, talked with others and I just don't want to put them in the middle of this. And also, Henry, I did connect with Laura Lewis, and she was pretty clear that we could certainly reach out and talk to them, but their budget vote is done. There's no other opportunity to change it now. So it's not something that they're going to change at this point.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Let's vote.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Show?
Kathy, Leslie texted me that she's spotty service, so if you could come back to her and see if by the time we finish the vote, maybe she should be get back on.
Okay. Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie Show? Leslyn McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
And 13 ayes, 0 noes.
All right. That carries. Thank you all very much. So that now becomes a part of the main motion that's on the table as amended. And that's the resolution J amended to add $15,000 one time for the purposes of Tompkins County Library having or opening up Sunday hours, more Sunday hours. All right. So the main motion is on the table now. Do I have that right? We voted on the amendment. Right.
The resolution as
amended. The resolution as amended is on the table. Further discussion on the resolution. Deborah, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, thanks, Leslie. I just want to say I'm sorry that Lisa Holmes isn't here tonight. I know she's enjoying herself immensely wherever she is, probably more than any of us. Mm-hmm. But it was quite an experience, I'm sure, for everyone on this team, all of us new to this experience. Lisa and Daniel and Samantha
were really terrific.
And Daniel and Samantha are here, so thank you both. You guys soldiered through, swam at the deep end of the pool, and we all really appreciate your hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Martha?
And thanks, Leslie. And I just want to say I was in the administration office a week or so ago handing in my previous budget book. And I'm going to give this one to Greg tonight. So he's taking this home. But Daniel and Samantha both commented that they had been kind of on speed dial with Kevin McGuire, that he has been really responsive and helpful in answering every kind of question and solving problems. And so from across the ocean, thanks to Kevin McGuire for doing all that, for being a loyal county support person even after leaving the payroll. So I think, I would just ask maybe Deborah, at this point it's such an anti-climax, but if you could kind of read the basic numbers, tax levy, and I assume this $15,000 doesn't change any of the main numbers.
Before Deborah goes there, let me just get some other discussion. Your name, Shauna.
That's me. I just want to thank Deborah Dawson for chairing this committee. This year was a very difficult year. There were a lot of numbers floating in the air with recovery funds, with our discussion on ARPA, and she really did an incredible job managing all of us, and we had some very, very productive conversations where it definitely could have gone the other way. So thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Well, Shauna took the words out of my mouth, but I'm also going to chime in and say a great big thank you to Interim County Administrator Lisa Holmes. Thank you, Lisa, for not being here. Just so people know, Lisa didn't just deliberately do this. She had vacation already planned well before all of this. She let us know, and she was trying to log in from wherever she was. And I said, Lisa, you know, we got this. Please truly take a vacation and enjoy your vacation. And she was thankful for that, actually. And I also do want to, because I know Lisa did some consulting with former County Administrator Jason Molino, and I do want to acknowledge and thank Jason for his guidance as well, helping Lisa and others through this process. And to all of you legislators, you all are a piece of work.
Yes.
But you do it because your representation of your constituents matter. You don't do it, you know, just fly by night, you know, make decisions or ask questions or challenge things just because you want to be difficult. It's because I think all of you, and I've been so proud to serve with all of you, represent and you represent well, and you bring the priorities that your constituents have, and you bring the priorities not just of your constituents but of the county to bear in those decision making. And this is what leads us having the kind of budget process and budget that we are coming out with now. So thank you all for that as well. And thank you, Deborah, for your leadership of the budget process, for trusting me when I said you can do this, and giving me side eyes and all kinds of nasty looks. But it worked out as well. So thank you. Any other discussion? Deborah, would you please read us
the numbers? Yeah, I won't read the entire resolution, but let's see. The sum of $52,399,459 required to meet the local share of expenses and costs of county government in Tompkins County for the fiscal year 2022, as set forth in the local budget, be assessed against, levied upon, and collected from the taxable property of the nine towns and the city liable therefore, and resolve further that this change will result in an approximate tax levy increase of 0%, falling below the Tompkins County adjusted tax cap of approximately 7.42%, as calculated according to New York State's formula, an approximate tax rate of $6.10 per $1,000 of assessed value, which amounts to a rate decrease of approximately minus 1.81% and a net increase of 5.10% in local spending. Resolve further that this tax change will result in an increase of approximately $8.02 on a median priced home assessed in 2021 at $205,000.
Thank you. Tania, were you trying to say something?
The amendment from tonight. The local spending number is 5.13%.
Okay. That would be line 25.
Percent change in net local spending, I believe. It should be 5.13%.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tanya. You know, I did, thank you, Deborah, for those numbers, and thank you for the correction. I did also, I would be remiss if I didn't, I made myself a note, and just to make sure that we, as a collective body, also say thank you to our department heads and to our staff, Dominic, Amy, everyone else. This has been, you know, the challenge of COVID from last year and trying to figure out what's end is up this year. And people came through, they did their budgets, they followed the guidelines, and it made it so much easier for all of us. So thank you very much for your hard work, department heads and staff, division leaders, and everyone working on this. Thank you. Rich.
I'm certainly going to support the resolution, but I do note just that New York State introduced the tax cap many years ago now as a control on local spending. And it seems to be failing of its essential purpose, that you have these bumps to the formula, and the formula ends up being sort of a mystery where it either is restrictively low, or this year at 7.42% is no control at all. And I'm sure there's very little we can do about that, but it doesn't seem to be working as it was intended. I'll just note that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Martha?
Yeah, I have a question for Dan, and if this is something you didn't have on the top of your head, then if you could just get back to me, that'd be fine. Get back to us, that'd be fine. This is not directly related to the budget. It is, but how many, I know there were a number of OTRs we voted on that we then subtracted from or ledgered against the $7 million recovery fund.
Yes.
Do you have a total of how many dollars that was? What's the subtraction?
Let me check real quick, because I believe I did. Hold on one sec. I can get back to you in a second. Sorry. It's in the notes, so there's no way for me to, like, quickly organize it. But I do remember I did it in the last meeting, so I can do it again. I'll raise my hand in one sec.
Okay. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments? While Dan is doing that, we'll thank the federal government and especially our majority leader, Chuck Schumer, for the ARPA monies. Thank you. Thank you, federal government, for voting on that. Thank you, Chuck, for advocating for all of us and for, you know, letting Tompkins County, City of Ithaca, know what we've been awarded, coming here, and I'm sure knows with us. So thank you. Mike Lane?
Vote. I'd like to call a question.
My question to Dan wasn't going to determine my vote. Yes.
Yeah. Question has been called there. Yes, Glenn?
I'll second it.
Seconded. All in favor of calling the question? Roll call vote. I'm sorry. We still have to have a roll call vote.
Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Show? Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McBean Claiborne?
I just want to vote no, just so I can say no, but yes.
5-0
no. I usually don't say no to anything. Yes. All right, question has been called. Let's vote on the budget, please. The 2022 Tompkins County budget.
Danny has his hand raised.
Yep. So that the answer to that question, the total to be deducted from the recovery fund is $464,656.
Thank you.
$464,656.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Aaron?
Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
For the last time in 20 years, yes.
Leslie Show?
Still not
back. I know she wanted to vote on the budget.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McBean Claiborne?
Oh, Martha. You had to go there. Yeah, it was budget vote night that I showed up, and it's budget vote night I'm going out. Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Yay. Thanks again, everyone, for your great work. Is there anything else from your budget committee, Deborah?
No, ma'am.
All right. Ooh. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Henry Grandison, Chair.
We have not met since the last meeting. We'll be meeting on December 1st for the last meeting of the year.
Thank you, Henry. Housing and Economic Development Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you very much, Leslyn. We meet tomorrow. We haven't met since the last legislature meeting. We do meet tomorrow. We had to move it a week early because of the holiday. A number of interesting reports, a report about the housing fund, community housing development fund, an application for funding from the town of Lansing to do a generic environmental impact statement on a town center, on work on their 100-some acres of town land. So that's a really interesting development. That's on our agenda tomorrow, to $10,000 grant for that. We will hear from IAED on the status of recovery fund, their recovery strategy action item. So I'm looking forward to that. And just a quick thing on Nick Helmholtz's report on tourism. It's in our packet. So let me just mention, for the third quarter, the tourism, the room tax dollars came in $1,142,000 and change. So that the total now that's come in for room tax through three quarters has surpassed the full budget amount for the year by about $245,000. So similar to casino money and sales tax money and everything else, whatever comes in now is above budget for the room tax for 2021. I'm sure we sort of budgeted conservatively on that, but what the, you know, things are looking good. Adding that room tax, bumping the B&Bs up from 3% to 5% didn't slow down anybody a whit. So those rooms are definitely still being rented. So that's tomorrow morning at 9:30.
All right. Thank you very much. Martha, you have a resolution on the agenda?
Oh, I do, don't I?
Yeah.
Resolution K, affirming Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council recommendation to increase the ITCTC staff director's salary, ID 10465. I so move.
May I have a second, please? Seconded by Shauna Black. Any discussion on it? Let's vote.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Robertson?
Yes.
Leslie Show? Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich Dunn?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Blaine?
Yes.
McKenna?
Yes.
Leslyn McBean Clairborn?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you very much. Downtown Facilities Committee, Dave McKenna, Chair.
Thank you, Liz. Downtown Facilities met on November 10th, and we had a presentation from INHS on possible solutions to low-cost housing on Sears Street. We will be having another meeting, either the 29th or the 30th, as it stands right at the moment, depending on legislature availability, to discuss that presentation in more detail and possibly vote to accept it at that point in time. I'd like to thank Joe and Leslie for the presentation. It did a really nice job, and I think it gave us a lot of information, a lot to think about. So anyway, that's my report for the time being. I do have one resolution, and as resolution L.
Hold on, Dave, let me see here. Dave, hang on, let me see if there are any questions or discussion on your report. Seeing none, go ahead with your resolution.
Okay, resolution L, authorizing the use of fund balance to purchase, for the purpose of purchasing of properties, ID 10352. And I so move.
I have a second, please. Seconded by Martha Robertson. Discussion? Dan Klein?
Thank you. I have a couple things I'd like to say. First of all, one of the speakers tonight, privilege of the floor, raised some questions and made some points that I think are legitimate points and questions in terms of these are legitimate questions or concerns from the public that we should be able to give answers to. So I'm going to take my crack at giving answers to them. One point that was made is that a number of these meetings happened in secrecy, in executive session. And that is true. In the early part of these meetings did happen in executive session. And the reason for that is because this involves a potential real estate transaction. And because when real estate transactions become public, they can affect the outcome and the price that's being asked. Not only is it lawfully legitimate, but I think it's ethically legitimate, too, to have those meetings in private. That's what happened. In terms of making a case for why the county should be buying these properties, we have an increasing number of employees in our county workforce, and we have some very cramped conditions in the current buildings. So it's to anybody that's walked through our workplaces, it's pretty clear, doesn't need a lot of explanation of why we need more, some more space. Same is true of parking. There are not enough parking spots here for all the county, the employees that are currently working here. And the trend has been for our workforce to grow. So it makes sense that we are need more parking now and we'll need more in the future. So it's another reason why I think it's pretty clear that we could use some additional space. Thirdly, these properties were available on the market. And if we didn't buy them, somebody else may have. And that would have been a real loss to the county. This was an opportunity for the county to secure some properties that are contiguous to our current properties. And so that's a very legitimate, very easy to understand reason why we should make an effort to get these properties. And then finally, I believe these properties are an excellent investment. Real estate in Ithaca is very valuable and only seems to go up. And if at some point in the future, it turned out that the county did not need these properties as we thought we might, then we can sell these properties, and there's a very good chance we will not only get our money back, but actually make a profit, which will be good for taxpayers in the long run. So that's the case, in my opinion, of why we did what we did and why we're about to do what we're about to do. And then finally, I would like to just point one thing out, that the first whereas this resolution references the August 17th, 2020 resolution. And today's resolution says is that we are buying these properties for a new downtown county governmental office building. But if you go back and read the resolution from August 17th, you'll see that there's some very conditional language used in it. It says that we will purchase these two properties, quote, there has options for a new office building site where multiple offices might be consolidated at a single location. So that's the intention of a number of people, and that's a strong possibility what will happen, but we have not yet made that decision. So basically, for that reason, I would like to make an amendment to on line four, to just insert the word potential. North 308 North Tioga Street for a potential new downtown county governmental office building.
Okay, there's an amendment to insert the word potential in the fourth line of the whereas. Is it friendly or is it a second to it if it's not friendly? I don't even remember who moved and seconded.
Dave moved it. I can't remember who seconded it.
Martha seconded it, that's right.
Well, it's not friendly to me, so.
Okay. Yeah. It's not friendly to the seconder. May I have a second on the insertion of potential? Seconded by Mike Lane. Discussion on the amendment. Martha.
I appreciate everything you said, Dan. Well, up to that point, I mean, absolutely right about real estate negotiations, the need for county space. I would add one other point about why we're taking this action, and it relates to the purpose in the first whereas. We, just like this legislature, had to move out of the main courthouse because the Office of Court Administration needed, they said they needed the space. They get to say that by state law. So we had to move our legislature seat out of our legislature chambers out of that building, moved here. They also have said, and said for years, that they need the space where the district attorney and county clerk are located. So we have an absolute need to put those two departments somewhere. So I think it's only fair to the public to say, this is actually what we're going to do with this property. We're not going to just build a parking garage. We're not going to, it's not a random thing that we're just going to bank the land. I mean, the purpose is because we have two county, I mean, even if no other departments moved into that, into a new office building, we have two departments that have to move from where they are. So I think we should go ahead and say, yeah, we're going to build an office building. That's where we're going to build it. This doesn't say when. It doesn't say how big it'll be. It doesn't say how much parking will be going with it or any of that. But it does say that our purpose is clear. Our purpose is for a building that will hold county offices. So I think that's how we should leave it.
All right. Thank you, Martha. I just want to insert also, we had to move out the office for the aging out of the courthouse as well. And Foreman, and then Rich John. To the amendment.
Yes, I had put my hand up for the main motion, but I also wanted to add a comment for this amendment. I will be voting for it. It doesn't hurt us at all to put this in. It gives us more flexibility. That is my intention. My intention to seriously look at it, but I can't predict what's going to happen in the future. I mean, it could be as someone has mentioned before, what if something happens, you know, a great recession happens and we can only afford to get those two departments out of the courthouse and try and figure out how to fit them in those two buildings, you know, permanently or for the short term. So I'm okay. I don't think it hurts our amendment at all.
Thank you. Rich John.
Yeah, I will oppose the amendment. You know, the speaker at privilege of the floor was correct. We had a long series of meetings, and it was unfortunate that we couldn't share with the public what was going on, but it was really the nature of the negotiations were protracted and difficult because we were negotiating with two different property owners and trying to do it in tandem. In the course of that, I think we've had extensive conversation, and I thought a meeting of the minds on why in the world were we doing this. Putting in the word potential suggests there's an alternative. And if there's an alternative, I don't know what it is. That this, I believe, is a sensible, good step for us to take as a county legislature. I don't think we need to hedge our bets. If the world changes substantially, we could pass a resolution and say, well, in this different world, we're not going to build a county office building. But that's entirely what our intent is, and we should say so. I think it's unfortunate to suggest to the taxpayer we would spend this kind of money without knowing why we were doing it. I certainly have proceeded on the assumption that we did know, and it is a new county office building. Thank you.
Mike Lane.
Disagree with Rich. I agree with certainly with Dan, and I agree with Ann. Insertion of this single word does not change anything. And actually, I think it affirms what Martha just said. So I can't understand why she's would not want to see it in there. A potential, it could be, as she just said, it could be a small building that was built on the corner. It could be a center of government that was built on half of the block. It could be anything. So we know we've had a study years ago. It was pointed out to us by a former county administrator that said we couldn't make the financial case to build a center of government. We still need to look at those kinds of issues. But just because we think it would be wonderful to have a brand new building for everybody doesn't mean we're going to have that the financial opportunity to do that. So potential makes a lot of sense to me. We might even be able to use the current buildings for a while for office space.
Dave McKenna, thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with everything Dan said up to his amendment. Along with that, the new building, if we were to build a new building, it would create a lot of synergy. It would reduce county expenditures for leasing property, which we do in several places in the county. It just makes a lot of sense, and I think changing it to anything other than what it is right now, it would be a mistake. I don't think putting potential in there is doing anything for us, frankly. I guess that's all I got to say.
All right, Shauna, then let's take this to a vote, please.
Yeah, so I could definitely see both sides. And it makes me think about, you know, in the next 45, 50 days, we are going to have four or five new people on this legislature. And what I go back to is the fact that this resolution is basing today what this legislature would do. And based on our discussions, I believe if we had to vote tonight, if we were going to spend the money, and I'm not saying we're going to vote tonight, that this legislature would more than likely go forward with the purchase of a building, assuming that the exact same 14 legislators were making the decision. So I will not support the amendment.
All right, let's vote on the amendment, please. Dave, did you have your hand up again? Since you're the chair of the committee,
I'm sorry,
I want to respect
that.
Okay. No. On the amendment to insert the word potential, 9-4.
Glenn Maury?
No.
Martha Robertson?
No.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
No.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
No.
Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
No.
Leslie McBean Claiborne?
No.
It's 7 ayes, 6 noes. Motion fails.
Okay, that fails. Back to the main motion. Is there more discussion on it? Martha.
Yeah, thanks. Dave made a good point I'd forgotten about, but that we do have a number of offices where we have to lease space, and so those are other opportunities to consolidate county operations. The question of a business case, that was discussed probably in 2010 or 11. We were just coming out of the recession. In fact, if you look back at sales tax numbers, I'm pretty sure those are the years when we were really cratering. So at that point, with the number of staff that we had, and we hadn't yet moved into this building, for example, hadn't yet moved COFA out, hadn't yet moved out of the old library yet. At that point, it didn't make a business, there wasn't a business case, but a lot has changed in 10 years. And I think that it's the right time to do this. This is the right place to do it. There are going to be some great opportunities, but the next legislature will have lots of time to identify what the true needs are and how to shape that space and how to shape what's left on Sears Street. So I think this is a good move. I'm really proud that we're taking this step. I think I've said at other meetings when one of the first things the deputy county administrator told me when I came in here 20 years ago was, you know, we're trying to get a hold of that bank building over there. We hear it's for sale, and we'd really like to buy that and, you know, put the county office building there 20 years ago. So some things take a long time in the government. I'm glad we're doing this.
Due diligence. Ann Corman.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I also wanted to add that another reason that I am for this purchasing this property, which I'm not sure was said tonight, but it might have, but I just wanted to, if not, I just wanted to make sure this was said. This is a property that is on the same block as as several of our properties, as most of our properties already are. And this would, and not even just on the same block, they abut our other properties. So this is a unique opportunity to get these properties. And also with them being this close, it gives us the opportunity to possibly put in a centralized geothermal system that could heat and cool many or all of our downtown buildings that are on this block. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Annie. Can we vote on this, please?
Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
No.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
With 12 ayes, 1 no.
Thank you. That carries. Anything else from downtown facilities?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Lane, did you have your hand up?
Can I just say thanks to Dan for bringing this up? I'm glad that's on the record, even though it failed by one vote.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, moving on to Public Safety Committee. I know your resolutions went. Rich, do you have a report?
Just that the Public Safety Committee will be meeting this Thursday, November 18th at 3 p.m. I anticipate having a discussion about the events of last week, and I'd certainly like to hear from our emergency responders and public safety officials on their impressions of what occurred. I'd also like to hear a report on how the emergency alert system worked. It seemed to be, it worked well, but I look forward to that discussion. And I just also share with the legislature that our jail numbers, we currently have a population of 35 and 5 board outs. Happy to answer or try to answer any questions.
Rich, any questions for Rich? All right. Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Shauna Black, Chair.
Thank you. We met yesterday and had a really great conversation about the encampment and homelessness situation here in Tompkins County. We were joined by Reach Medical, Second Wind, OAR, and DSS. I think what all of us realize is that this is just such a massive issue, and we really just scratched the surface. What we also realized and are very thankful for is that many of these partners have been collaborating over the past 18 months to 2 years, and they have really been able to provide some incredible services to people that live in the encampments, as well as people that are homeless, such as COVID vaccines, COVID testing, hepatitis vaccines. I can't say enough about the wonderful organizations that serve our community. The next step appears to be to really have a conversation with the city. And we also talked about what some of the barriers were to helping people that are homeless and those that are living in the encampments. I thought it was interesting. I think Sigler was the one who really pinpointed the true reason and the reason why many of our people are homeless is based on the trauma, the mental health, and substance use disorder. Definitely many of the professionals that were at the meeting agreed. So the conversation will continue. I'm assuming probably in the new year. And I wanted to thank all the legislators that were part of that conversation. Thank you.
Questions, comments? Martha?
Yeah, I want to thank Shauna. Thank you for bringing all those people together. I was on and off because I had an appointment in the middle of the time period. I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of it. And I really encourage other people to go back and listen to the YouTube, because we talk kind of at this level about the housing crisis and homelessness and all these things. This was a chance to really hear on, you know, the real story on the ground from the people who are having day-to-day interactions. And I didn't catch whether any of the people experiencing homelessness were actually on the call, but it's such a complex problem, and we really deserve it to, you know, to the public, to our residents, to these folks, to do whatever it takes to make it better. I'm not sure we'll ever solve it, but we have to do better. Thanks.
I forgot to mention Natalia from Family and Children's was also on the phone call, and she was trying to also get people that are living in the encampments to add their input. And I don't believe we received anyone that was interested, but there was someone that was interested in possibly corresponding via email. So if that comes through, I will send it to the legislators.
Thank you. All right. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Thank you. We have not met since our last legislature meeting. We'll be meeting this Thursday, November 18th at 9 o'clock. We'll be hearing an update from our Recycling and Materials Management Department about how the new contract is going. We'll be having an update on the trails in Tompkins County, among other things. So we look forward to that meeting, which is always a good meeting.
Any questions to Mike? Thank you, Mike. Tompkins Intergovernmental Relations Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We met, We met November 9th was our last meeting, and our next one will be December 14th at 10:30. We do have a resolution on the agenda. We were very lucky to be able to get Amanda Svelacy, Senator Schumer's regional representative, on the phone, and she went through the infrastructure bill had just passed, I think, the day before, and so she went blow by blow through what was through the headlines of what's in there, and in particular what New York State should be getting from that infrastructure bill. We also heard from NYSAC's Ryan Gregoire, legislative director, about the state budget and the kinds of things that NYSAC is working on and meeting with the division of the budget staff to work on. So it was another full discussion, and again, we will meet on December 14th, and I do have one resolution.
Any questions to Martha?
I want to thank Deborah for the following resolution. O, document 10515, resolution urging prompt passage of New York State Assembly bills A07389 and A07768 and enactment of their provision into law. I so move.
Second, Deborah Dawson.
And with
question.
Yeah, with thanks also to Assemblywoman Anna Kellis. This is about the Bitcoin mining issue. These are two bills that one would establish a 3-year moratorium on these operations until the state can do impact assessments on this operation, and prevent the automatic transfer of air and water permits from these dormant power facilities, and so they would in fact be evaluated and not just automatically get re-permitted. So these are really important next steps, and I appreciate having this in front of us. If I could just ask for two small things. It seems to me in the title, it should be provisions, plural, and also in line 45.
So that's okay with me.
All right, Kathy, that's just a...
That was probably just a typo.
Okay.
Sounds good. It'll add an S.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, let's vote on it. Sorry, Kathy's adding S's, and then we'll vote.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich Dan?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McLean Claiborne?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you very much.
It carries. Thank you, Martha. Government Operations Committee, Amanda Champion Chair. Do you have any report, Amanda?
No, we will meet again on December 2nd at noon.
Beautiful. Show up December 2nd at noon. Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Ann Corman Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The we haven't met since our last legislative meeting, but the PEAK committee is meeting on next Monday, 22nd at 1:30. And on our agenda, let's see, we have some updates from Department of Recycling on the county environmental procurement program, distribution of reusable bags, the New York State styrofoam ban, and the food scrap ban for large businesses, among other things. And we will also have a report from our planning department on the water quality strategy for 2022 to 2024. I believe that'll be Darby who will be updating us on that. We'll also have an update on the 2030 district from our chief sustainability officer. And let's see, we'll be reviewing our yearly goals and see how we'll start the review of our yearly goals and see how we've done so far. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Ann? All right, seeing no questions, there are no individual member filed resolutions. Let's take up the minutes of the previous meeting, November 4th. Moved by Deborah Dawson, seconded by Mike Sigler. Any questions, corrections, comments on the minutes? All right, let's vote on them.
Glenn Morey?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Dave McKenna?
Yes.
Leslie McLean Claiborne?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
And the minutes carrying. On the unfinished business, I just want to take a quick moment just to acknowledge some legislators-elect who joined us tonight. I see Veronica Villar in chambers, Greg Mezzi. Greg has been here. Very glad you're here again post-election. And I see a name on screen virtually. Thank you all for joining and come again. Martha?
I have, but Glenn doesn't have, three advisory board appointments, but it also has the date of December 7th on it. It's two to the Strategic Planning Board and one to the Historical Commission. There are no appointments for this evening.
There are no appointments for this evening.
I bet this came with the housing. Got it. All right. This was my housing agenda.
You need to stop time traveling, Martha.
Thank you.
You know, don't start. Yeah. making work for me, Martha. You got me in a panic. Like, what did I miss?
No wonder, Glenn. Okay.
Sorry. We need to move to executive session for the purposes of seeing issues related to particular employees. May I have a motion, please? Moved by Martha Robertson. May I have a second? Seconded by Mike Sigler. We will not be making any decisions coming out of executive session. We'll just be adjourning at that point. All right.
Ready.
We'll have to vote. Sorry, to go into executive session. Sorry.
Glenn Maury?
Yes.
Martha Robertson?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
Champion?
Yes.
Deborah Dawson?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Foreman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Anna?
Yes.
Leslie Mathien-Claiborne?
Yes.
Zero notes.
All right.